Morning. It is good to be here. Been good to be here. Appreciate those, that song, and we shall wear a crown. I had to think of the appreciate what Brother Marcus shared there in the devotional about following Christ. And he said there's consequences, and I agree with him there. I think there's rewards to following Christ, and we choose. We can choose whether we're going to follow or not, but we don't choose the consequences. We don't choose we choose whether we follow or whether we don't. It's good to be here. It's good to see all of you here. It's good to have visitors here. Good to have Bruce is here. And you're probably wondering why he's not up here, but we're given a chance to catch his breath. We know he's here. So just so you know that, we are looking forward to having him share with us at least one time when he's here, if not more. If you want to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12, I'd like to, for an opening meditation, I was just blessed with the devotional, the Sunday school. If I'd put a title on this, I'd put a title to the song I listened to this morning, and some of you may have also, a song that was shared, Keep Your Eyes on the Finish Line. That thought went along with what I was thinking, what's been running through my mind. Keep your eyes on the finish line. So Hebrews chapter 12, someone shared this chapter, just a few of these verses here several Sundays ago. It was actually the Sunday after Brother Steve's passing, and I don't know if it was Jonathan or Joe. So this is one of Steve's favorite passages. He often talked about it. I'm going to go through the chapter and read some of the verses, not all of them because of time, but it starts out with wherefore. So because of the wherefore, we look back, and what is he talking about? We look back in chapter 11. We have all those beautiful accounts, those great heroes of faith, those that were that stayed faithful to the finish line. I'm just going to read the first couple of verses here. Chapter 12, verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, enduring the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. So those characters of faith in that preceding chapter, chapter 11, some of those had some very rough times. Life was rough for them. It was a struggle to survive. Many died untimely deaths due to persecution. But you know, they had one thing in common. They were focused on the finish line. And I think it's so beautiful the way he lays it out here. And he says, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. We have the example of Christ, one who is willing to suffer, one who is willing to give all so that we can have life, one who is tempted in all points like as we are. What are our goals? 5 years from now, 10 years from now, is it what we can be? Or do we focus on where we want to go, where we want to be? Maybe you say, what's the difference there? But isn't there a difference what we can be? We focus on, and this can be in every area of our life, it can be in possessions, status, focusing on what we can do, how much can we, where can we go with our lives, instead of focusing on where do we want to be in light of eternity. Where do we want to be in 5 years? Where do we want to be in 10 years? He says, let us lay aside every weight. Now, do we weight ourselves down to the place that we can't move? We lose sight of the finish line. We'd like to go there. We'd like to do this or that, but you know, we wish we could, but we can't. Because of weight. What is that? What are those weights that he's talking about? You know, there's things that we can do. But is it going to put us, is it going to let us, allow us to be where we want to be in 5 years, in 10 years, 20 years? Or is it going to keep us? Is that weight, is it going to be a weight to us and keep us from getting to that place? Is it going to make us lose sight of that finish line? Let's lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And I don't know exactly what he's talking about there, but he says another place about pride, the root and essence of sin. Pride covers just about all of them. Lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience. So because we can't go over there, out there, What is he talking about? I think it's not so much it may be right here. It's right where you are. It's in the doing these things can be washing the dishes, cleaning the house, normal things of life, working your jobs, building buildings, pouring concrete, putting in plumbing, hooking up lights. I don't care what it is. All those things can be things that we can do, we should do, but where is our focus while we're doing these things? Where is our, do we do these things in light of where we want to be in 5 years, in 10 years, and do them in a way that we're keeping our focus on that finish line? And we're taking the time, Lord, what can we do today? What do you want from me today? Do we use the opportunities, open ourselves to the opportunities that God gives us, or are we we've got ourselves so tied in to get to where we want to be, to where we can be, I should say, we've got ourselves so tied in to get to where we can be that we're going to miss where we want to be. Let's go on down to verse 11. He's there. He starts out with talking about chastening. And I think in our Sunday school lesson today, we saw a lot of that chastening. It says, you know, and it gives us here what chastening should do for us. It says, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. It tells us what the effect that chastening should have on us. And I like the thought that someone gave that the things we, a lot of times the things we face are because we get ourselves into these places. And we have to deal with them. We have to deal with the consequences. And of course, there's tough things in life. Sickness, sin, and that type of thing that because we're living in a fallen world that we deal with. But he says that chastening should yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. If we use it rightly, And then he goes on to tell us what our goal should be in life. To lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. To make straight paths for your feet. I think he's saying there that be focused. If you're not, others looking on, those that are struggling, it may turn them out of the way. It may turn them the wrong way. But let our lives, let our walk be such that it heals, that it helps others. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And he gives some more things there that, looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, bitterness, anger, those kind of things. He says, spring up and trouble you, and many be defiled. You know, that's the root that goes out a long ways and touches a lot of roots are underground, and they come up in different places. And there's a lot of effects from those roots of bitterness. And then the last part of the passage I want to read is verse 22. And this is a positive. It says, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, verse 22, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refuse him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape. If we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. For ye are come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, that heavenly Jerusalem, an innumerable company of angels, the assembly of the church of the firstborn, those that have their names written in heaven, and the God of the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. And I like how he says there in verse 28, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace. And we can be a part of that kingdom that will not be moved, it cannot be moved. We can be a part of that kingdom here on this earth if we keep our focus on that finish line. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. I'm going to read this. The words of this song. I'm not going to try to sing them to you. I told my boys if I had more time, I'd have you practice and have them sing them, and they weren't all too enthused about that. But keep your eyes on the finish line. When times are tough and the days are long, you've had enough of things gone wrong. Let your faith arise. Put your fears behind and keep your eyes on the finish line. Mistakes you've made are a lesson learned. And every day another bridge is burned. And you'll be surprised at what you'll find if you keep your eyes on the finish line. When the race is run and this life is o'er, the victory won will be with the Lord. He's the one who cares if you fall behind. He's waiting there at the finish line. The finish line, it's always ahead, that's the chorus. Don't look behind. Move on instead. Climb higher on the ladder of life and keep your eyes on the finish line. Let's kneel together for prayer.